If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, we answer fitness and health questions. We help people build muscle, get stronger, burn body fat, feel better. But we also like to have a lot of fun on the podcast. And the way we open up this podcast is with introductory conversation. We talk about current events, talk about each other, and we just generally talk. So here's what we did in this episode. We start out by mentioning Adam mixing the green juice and Pure from Organifi. He wanted the mental sharpness that I was talking about the other day. So he mixes it at the beginning of the episode. Watch and wait. About 40 to 45 minutes in, you can hear a marked improvement in his verbal fluency.
Just kicks right
and
in.
Sharpness. That's by Organifi, by the way. Organifi is one of our sponsors. They make organic supplements, including protein powders that are plant-based, of course, organic. Here's how you get your Mind Pump exclusive discount of 20% off. Just go to Organifi.com/Mind Pump and then use the code Mind Pump. Then Adam talked about how he pranked one of our employees, Rachel. I hope she doesn't quit over that, Adam. I talked about how Tom and Jerry turned 80, one of the most politically incorrect cartoons of all time, which makes it hilarious.
One of the last remaining.
Justin talked about how astronauts are using a new piece of equipment in space to help them from losing muscle and bone mass, because that's what can happen when you're in space. I talked about seeing the original blue light blocking glasses. These are the glasses. I think they were originally invented in the 80s.
Yeah.
We were walking around outside and someone was wearing
them. My grandma's wearing them.
And it really made me happy that we work with a company like Felix Gray. Felix Gray makes blue light blocking glasses that are not ugly, like the original blue light blocking glasses. They don't change the color of the world. Yeah. So you're not looking through orange or red lenses. They're almost clear or pretty much no tint to them whatsoever. But they effectively block blue light, and they're stylish. They look really good. Of course, the company, Felix Gray. Here is how you get your hookup. Go to felixgrayglasses.com. That's felixgrayglasses.com/mindpump. You'll get free shipping and free returns. Then we talked about the show on HBO called McMillions. It's a show about how the mafia swindled the Monopoly game through McDonald's. Kind of cool. I talk about the benefits of masturbation. Good news for Justin.
Big science there.
Then we talked about Jeff Bezos and how he bought the most expensive house in LA, and it basically cost him almost nothing because he's so rich.
Pocket change for him.
Crazy. I talked about antioxidants and cancer. It's not what you think. And then we talked about carbohydrates and strength. Then we got into the fitness questions. The first question was, what are your thoughts on two-a-days? This is where you work out twice a day instead of once a day. So we have a nice discussion there. The next question, do endurance rep ranges like 15 to 20 reps help at all with strength and muscle building? So we talk about the benefits of higher reps. The next question, this person says, look, I've seen conflicting arguments around the metabolism boosting effects of lean muscle mass. Apparently a pound of lean muscle mass doesn't burn that much extra calories, but why do people's metabolisms get so much faster when they lift weights? What's going on? So we break that down. And then the final question, this person says, what are the best ways to deal with stress? Also, this month, MAPS Split, our advanced bodybuilding physique competitor, bikini competitor workout program. It's 6 days a week in the gym, gives you all your workouts, has video demos, everything you need to follow this program is in there. It's 50% off. It's half off, huge sale. Here's how you get your discount. Go to mapssplit.com. That's mapssplit.com. And use the code SPLIT50, SPLIT50, no space, for the discount.
I'm experimenting.
I can see what you're doing over there.
Well,
that's not the way you take it, though.
What do you mean?
What?
Oh, I thought you were experimenting the other way.
Stupid. Ooh. No, I haven't done this
that's
yet.
That's biohacking.
And what did we figure last time it took Sal about...
Oh, you're going to drink it right now?
Okay. Yeah, 30 minutes, right?
Okay, now...
See if I say something brilliant, 30 minutes.
Okay, I want everybody who's listening to the podcast...
It actually tastes really good.
It does. Mm. If you're listening to the podcast right now, here's what Adam just did. Mark the time. Right. He's drinking a bottle of Organifi green juice mixed with Pure. This is a brilliant combination.
Different taste, but good.
I came up with it myself.
Yeah.
And in 30 minutes...
I stick with the name. I keep it pure.
Minty with like a lemon or lime taste.
And in 30 minutes, you'll feel the the brain surge.
The buzzer.
Yeah, so.
Mark it down.
So maybe Doug could keep the time.
It's like an electrical surge of neurons.
It's a lot of pressure, though. I feel like Doug's going to be like looking at me when the 30-minute mark. Like, yeah. Say something smart, Adam. Say something smart. Yeah. There's pressure. It's a fucking commercial. You got to fucking
Adam's
sell this shit.
Mitochondria.
Yeah.
Flux capacitor.
That's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's one of those two.
Yeah.
Make up a word right around that time. Hey, did you see... Did you see what I did to Rachel the other day?
No.
So,
are you not being nice?
No. It's
I'll reprimand you.
Playful, just okay, being all playful. Right, all right. So, she asked me. So we did the sweater launch, right? She just did a release on the new hoodie that we did, which I love.
Yeah.
And she comes up to me at the beginning of work, and she goes, hey, before you leave today, could I get some photos of you in the hoodie? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
He's like, I walked out with just the hoodie on.
Yeah.
That's not a good prank, no. Adam.
Yeah.
So that's a lawsuit.
Here's the thing that's the three of us are, we're all old men for sure. Like in the sense of like.
Totally.
Not cool social media guys. Yeah. We just are not, right?
Yeah. We don't have the angles. None of that stuff.
We just don't care.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not me. You know what I'm saying? Like before Instagram existed, I would never do anything like this. So anyway,
I was a bully to people that are influencers.
But she oversees. Dick.
I just was.
Yeah. He's just coming out with his confession.
Yeah. I'll be honest. That was me.
So I say yeah. I tell her that, and then we go outside. Eli's got the camera, and Rachel's like, you know, just, and we go outside. She goes, you know, just go for a walk. And we're going to say, I'm like, really? Just by myself, just go for a walk and pretend like you're not shooting me? Like, all right, whatever. So I play along, right?
Because most awkward.
And I have to be very careful about, you know, this is our staff, and they're trying to do their job. And, you know, part of her job is, you know, the apparel side of the house. And, you know, she's done an incredible job with, you know, the stuff that she's putting out and the organization of it and the consistency.
Oh, I love the setup.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I had to definitely. Yeah.
Here comes a shit sandwich. Yeah.
So I'm aware of this while I'm also doing something I don't like to do at all, right? But I'm trying to, and she's just like, and I'm like, you know, Rach, this really isn't like on brand, you know? I know that's the angle that I have to take with her. If I bitch that, like, I don't want to do that.
That's
a dirty
word. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Not on brand.
Yeah. Boss can't be that way. I'm supportive. I'll work, whatever. So we do the whole shoot. They take all these different shots and everything like that. And then, you know, she's like, okay, that's good. You know, and I'm like, let me see him real quick. And I'm like, no. I'm like, okay. I said, okay. And she's like, listen, she's like, I don't give a shit how stupid you look. She's like, We need to show people that we have this, and I want to sell hoodies. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's where you get me, right? Always numbers, money. So
she
wins.
Lead with that.
Yeah, right. So she wins, and so we walk away. And then I come back in. I say, okay, could you please at least do this? I said, I don't like posting things like cool guy. I'm like, be on brand as far as like our flavor. Yeah. Figure something out.
Make fun of me or something.
Yeah, don't try and post me looking cool. Like, I just don't want that. Like, she's like, okay, I'll figure something out. This is like a few days ago, right? So I go away, and then up pops the post, you know? And did you guys read the post?
No.
You guys didn't read the post?
No. What did it say?
So one of the photos she took, they had me sit on the bus stop, right? And so I guess.
Waiting for the bus.
I thought she was taking a picture of you through our mirror.
No.
Our window.
No, they had me sit on the bus stop, and then the caption says, waiting for the bus like calf gains. .. Sometimes it never comes.
Brilliant.
I was like, oh my God, I died, right?
Yeah. So, she gets a raise.
Right. I said, and I was extremely, actually very happy. I was like, what a great job. And that is so more on brand for us. I love her. I love that she's like, but of course I have to jab back.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, dirty. And then I put, side note, Mind Pump is looking for new brand management. DM Rachel.
Oh, no.
The last, like,
is she getting hella DMs?
DMs like crazy. And they're all like really long DMs that people are sending to her, like their resume like and
full
shit.
Resume, yeah.
They're like, hey, you know, I saw that you guys are looking for a new, that what they, a lot of them obviously don't know is that that's her position.
I just got plane tickets. I'm coming next week.
She sent me a text message later that night. She's just like, I fucking hate you. And she's screenshotting all the DMs that she's getting of people that are like trying to apply for the position. Seriously.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's perfect.
Do you guys ever do that to one of your friends where, this is before like caller ID or whatever, where you're on a long drive, you go into a gas station, you know, bathroom or something like that, and you write, you know, for a good time or whatever, and you put your friend's phone number.
Yeah, we did that to you up in Truckee in the bathroom.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. You put my actual phone number?
Oh, by the way. Yeah, in Truckee, there's that burger joint.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they have the whiteboard.
You put my phone number there, huh?
I wasn't going to tell. I was going to hope it like just came to fruition, and then you found out later.
Weird calls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where that's coming from.
I've actually had no calls. Yeah, it's hard to do it nowadays with
caller. It was a 900 number.
With caller ID. Oh, you didn't put my actual number?
No.
That's stupid.
But I said
I think we put your Instagram handle is what we did.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah. You got to put.
Slide in the DMs.
We wouldn't do that to you completely, you know, just enough.
Well, you guys know, now that I know that, the retaliation is going to be, and it's usually mean and ugly.
Yeah, it is. You're a bad retaliator.
Yeah.
Like, you take it to the next
level.
It's
not cheeky.
I like to skip levels.
You do.
There's no need to go to the next. Just go straight to the end.
Yeah. Escalate hella fast.
Let's just stop it.
I take a video of him sleeping, and then it's like the next thing he's insulting my mother.
Red button.
I'm like,
boom.
Whoa, dude. Like, you took it to mom's already?
Launches
like,
his nuclear missiles, like, right away.
Pictures of you when you were a kid.
Like, holy shit.
Look how retarded he was.
Yeah.
Sorry. I said a politically incorrect word.
You did.
My bad. Speaking of politically incorrect, guess what turned 80 recently? Tom and Jerry.
Wow.
Tom and Jerry has been around for 80
Those psychotic
years.
Cartoons.
Now, are they still releasing new content, or is it just on? I thought it was just on repeat.
I think it might. I think they might. But, I mean, I don't know how. It's not like the Tom and Jerry I grew up with. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a millennial or younger, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Go on. I don't know. Maybe you can find them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look up old.
I showed my kids.
Yeah, vintage Tom and Jerry.
They regretted it afterwards.
They're the worst. They're the worst. They're so bad.
Yeah, I love it. It's so violent.
Smoking cigarettes and killing each other and just, you know, racist characters coming out of that thing.
Yes, dude.
It's so bad.
All of that stuff.
Oh, it's so bad.
Well, we've seen even like Disney evolve. Katrina and I were just talking about this because
the cartoons now have a warning.
Yeah.
Even
Pinocchio.
We were just watching. Was it not Aladdin? What was the Jungle Book? I don't know. It was one of those like old ones.
Mm-hmm.
On Disney, like on the Disney Plus, where you could watch.
It was
like,
Jungle Book.
It was, huh?
It had to be Jungle Book
because that was what was playing yesterday when I came home. And Katrina's
because they
like
had stereotypical, you know, depictions of people or whatever.
Yes, they had that warning, and then also they reference like smoking,
they had, like a lot of smoking. Racist Indian stuff.
They make like a smoking reference, and then they have to put up like a warning on that. That was really interesting.
It's so funny. Those old cartoons are terrible,
dude. Like the old Dumbo. I don't know if you guys like have seen it in a long time or not, but there's this whole scene where he basically eats mushrooms and trips balls.
Oh yeah, I did see
and
that.
I was like, what's happening? Like, I was like, man, I need to be like lifted. I need to be elevated to appreciate this.
Well, you guys remember Warner Brothers had Speedy Gonzalez? Remember him?
Yeah.
It was a little mouse.
Yeah.
A little
whole
Hispanic
stereotypical
mouse.
Like everything.
Yeah. And he's super fast or whatever. And they eliminated that character because of that. Because they considered it racist.
Now, what do you guys think about that stuff?
You know, look, until they fucking change Mario from Mario Brothers, I have no empathy. I have no empathy. I don't care.
Luigi.
Yeah, nobody says
it's a Luigi.
Shit.
Hey,
until they change Lucky Charms and Mario.
Changing the pipe.
Exactly. They didn't say anything about Lucky Charms.
I was going there next.
Yeah, exactly. Got to change.
Taste the rainbow.
I loved Speedy Gonzales. He was one of my favorite characters. Super fast.
I know, man.
Hey, Justin, you tagged Sal and I on a post yesterday.
Yeah.
It looked like it was a almost like a Smith machine with like arms on it and shit. Like conformed to the body a little bit, for astronauts.
Yeah, it's kind of. I know it kind of has like a Smith machine-y kind of feel, but I think it's called a grasshopper. But what was cool about it, and somebody had tagged me on this because we were talking about astronauts and lifting and everything, and I guess this guy, like, it looks like he created this really cool way for them to, you know, I think it's mechanically, and it's powered by electricity, so you can add all this force and program it, so when you're in space, you know, you can actually get a substantial amount of load. Because, I mean, think about it, like, having actual, like, weights up there, they're not going to weigh shit, no. You know? So it's like...
Have, like, 10 plates up there.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, of course not.
That's how it's... No, but that's how it's going to work.
Oh, yeah.
So you're basically almost, like, almost...
It's pushing you down, in a sense, right?
It's just electric resistance.
Electric resistance. Yeah. But, the way that they set it up and engineered it, it looked pretty, like, it had two different, like an elbow almost for the arm. So it was like a little bit more travel in terms of, it wasn't like a straight up and down line like a Smith machine.
So you can move horizontal, vertical, diagonal.
You could do bench, you could do overhead press kind of. You could do a lot more moves that were like legit. So I was like, oh, wow, that's really smart.
In the past, they've used...
That 100% solves that problem.
They have resistance training equipment in space. That's just a new machine.
It's a new one that can add more load.
In the past, they've used pneumatic equipment.
Yeah.
Which we've had in gyms before, right? Uh-huh. Where was it Kaiser?
Kaiser does the air pressure.
Yeah. Kaiser does like that. And then before that, do you guys remember Nautilus used to have these machines that you would enter in the resistance? It was electronic. It was actually been around since the 90s.
The air one also, right?
I don't know if it was air or if it was magnets, but you enter into the resistance. And let's say I put 150 pounds, the positive portion of the rep was 150, but it would automatically calculate a heavier negative.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you guys ever use that machine?
I've used something like that.
Yeah. It was such a piece of shit. It was so...
It's funky, especially on the way back.
Well, the reason why it was hard is because if you reverse direction at all with your rep, you got the heavy load.
Yeah.
So when you do your press, as soon as you stop, it's like... And it just didn't feel smooth.
Yeah, I think that's the ARX is another one that's out there. Like the,
is that the one that Greenfield does?
Yeah, it's Greenfield. What's his name? The other bulletproof guy. But they promote all the time about doing it like once, twice a week, where it's like,
oh, stupid.
Yeah, they can only do a few. They do max effort and all that stuff.
It makes sense as an astronaut to me.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. I can see using it for that, but for the average person, that's just.
Well,
silly,
okay. Resistance, the same rules apply for resistance training. There's a certain amount of frequency, volume, and reps that's always going to produce the best results.
Yeah. Even off Earth.
It doesn't matter. What they say with that machine is, you know, 10 minutes gives you a full body workout equivalent to, you know, 3 days a week in the gym. No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't do that.
It's not going
to. I remember when we interviewed Dave Asprey, and, you know, he was saying a bunch of stuff, and I was like, okay, that's smart. And he started talking about exercise.
Yeah. Not so
said,
smart.
I only need to do 10 minutes of resistance training. It's max effort, and it gives me all the results I need.
Uh-oh.
No.
Stepped outside your lane, dude. Stepped outside your lane, bro.
It's back when we were still being nice.
Yeah.
Oh, if that happened.
Well, it's cool, but
it was also over the phone, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Exactly. Dude, I had a little... I felt like I went in a time machine the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Wow. Yeah, we had lunch. I think you guys saw it, too. We're walking back. Do you guys remember the original blue light blocking glasses?
Oh, yeah, the blue blockers. I saw that guy.
Like the ones, like the aviator, like, looking ones?
Dude, they're ugly.
Yeah.
Remember that? When they first came out?
Like John Wilkes Booth kind of, like, you know, like they got the tint and then the aviator action.
Dude, blue blocking glasses really have come a long way because there's still a lot on the market that are terrible looking. They're just not nice. They color everything weird, you know?
Yeah.
But those were the old original ones.
Watch him come back, though. I mean, the guy was wearing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Older guy.
They're hideous. Mm. But
was he that much older than us?
Hideously cool, I
guess.
Son
of a bitch. We're old, too.
As I say, it looked like he was your age. Yeah. He definitely looked like your age.
My dad owned a pair of those back in the day.
My parents did, too.
Did they?
But they used them for driving. That was the whole pitch, wasn't it, back in the day?
They're hella cheap, aren't they, Doug? How much?
Ugly-ass things.
$32.
Oh, I thought they were like even cheaper than that. I could have sworn like on the commercials back then, it was like, get two pairs for $10.
No. And I remember my dad bought those, and, you know, the way they sold them was like, it's easy on the eyes or whatever.
They used to, the commercials for them, they used to pitch it on night driving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's
what a terrible.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It like makes everything orange.
Because the bright white light coming in, I remember those. If you look up old blue blocker commercial, watch, it's like it's always like somebody driving at night, and the
I remember,
yes,
that was a bad idea, bad commercial.
Yeah, because when they're
one of the number one reasons for, you know, car accidents in the at night, you know, falling asleep. Here, put these glasses on, I'm tired. Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's the original commercial right there.
What is that one? With the sombrero?
Looks like your cousin.
Hella racist, dude.
No, I'm just saying, bro. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yo, I'm all fired up with the Mario and Luigi.
Politically incorrect stuff today.
I know.
Women, bro. I can't wait for your DMs tomorrow.
I apologize for the word I said earlier.
Oh, you're fucked, bro. Yeah. It's like every time that's
coming. I know when you do it, you get hella DMs.
I know, I do.
Apologies.
People.
No, well.
They've come a long way, I think, is the point of this.
Oh, yeah. Now we got the Felix Gray that look amazing. They look really good. My daughter wears hers all the time.
Yeah.
Loves them. Every time she comes home.
You know what's funny? Because I've sold it so hard to my son that he actually took it on his own to bring it with him, because he went to his friend's party where it was a sleepover where they have they play video games and geek out all night. And he was like, oh, and he grabbed it. And I'm like, I saw him grab it out the door. I was like, oh, you got your blue blockers. And so he was like all about it.
You want to know how I sold it to my son?
Hmm.
So I kept telling him, every time I'd go upstairs, he'd be in his room doing his homework, and I'd always have to remind him, hey, put on your Felix Grays, and he'd put them on, and he wouldn't argue anything, but I'm like, I got to sell it to him so that he always does this when I'm not around, because he's on the computer so much that,
you can't control it always.
Yeah, and you want to, there's the daytime ones, right, that block the damaging blue light, and if you're on a computer all the time, you want to do that, especially if you start as a kid. So I'm like, how do I sell this to him? Because fear doesn't really work well with kids unless you really scare the shit out of them. Then you just feel bad. I did that once. I'll tell you guys that story another time. So
I think we all have.
So what I did was I said, hey, listen. I said, blue light fatigues the eyes. You're not able to receive information as quickly, and it slows down your hand-eye coordination. That's all I said. I let him piece it together.
That's so he's going wait a second, gaming speed?
Totally. I need to be good at totally. That. So now when he plays his games, bro, it's part of his preparation.
Oh, it's so good, dude.
He's got a glass of water, puts on the blue, and he's ready.
Dad one, son zero.
Boom. Have you guys checked out that new show that's on Apple Plus? It's called Mythic Quest. Or Mythical Quests?
You find all the weird ones.
Dude, it's awesome. It's like it's a mix between The Office and let's see, something else, but I don't have a comparison. It's just good.
It's like if you took two ingredients and mixed them together.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's like, well, it's all about building, developing video games, but it's all the whole work culture for it. It's funny. It's got the guy from It's Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of those guys. It's really witty. It's totally worth your guys' time.
Is it how new is it? How many episodes?
Brand new.
Oh, yeah, wow.
We just started watching. We got through five of them back to back.
It's that good.
It's good, dude.
Oh, wow.
They're only 30 minutes long, so you just
I like having a show like that, though, because we have our shows that we watch that are lighthearted, where we're working still and it's on in the background.
Yeah, you don't have to pay attention.
You know what I just found? Have you guys seen this is on HBO. It's Mark Wahlberg's new series on McMillions.
No.
It's got two episodes out. So do you guys know the whole Monopoly scam on with McDonald's?
Oh, it's scam?
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah, made a ton of money remember their Monopoly thing you play?
Oh, dude.
How did he make a ton of money?
Oh, wow. So watch it. Because they did a documentary on this a long time ago. So I'd already seen the original documentary, so I almost didn't watch this. And I told Katrina, I was like, I know this story. I just don't know.
So did he did he?
I don't even want to share. I'm not going to spoil it. It's that good. It's it's crazy how it's a series. So it's only got two episodes out. And what I liked about this series on it, so somebody who's listening right now who's familiar like I was with the other documentary on it, the other documentary is 1.5 hour, 2 hour documentary. And they kind of give you a brief overview. This dives into the FBI investigation of it and how long it took to unfold all of it. But it's crazy mafia shit.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It went on for decades.
Oh, really?
What? Oh, it was a scam for decades. The winners for over 10 years for McDonald's, millions, 25,000 Vipers. Oh, that was all getting funneled to the mafia.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
It's so sick. They're actually paying out, and then it was all going so people that won, I guess I'm going to ask a lot of details here, but did they actually were they part of the mafia? Did they know that they were going to end up giving it to the mafia?
So, no. Who, McDonald's?
No, the actual people that won. Or were they
part
winning.
Of the scam?
They were part of the scam.
Right.
They were connected to people that were connected to people in the mafia.
I got it.
So it was crazy scam.
A huge racket that they created.
And the part that's blew my mind, and what I liked about this documentary opposed to the original one that came out on this, Mark Wahlberg he's done such a good job on some of this stuff he does now, man. Mm-hmm. That guy's become a great producer. So they really dive into the back end of it. All the questions that I had, like, come on, really? McDonald's had that shitty security, something like that happened? Bro, it's the winning pieces for McDonald's was, first of all, McDonald's wasn't involved in it. They hire a marketing company called Simon Marketing, which is like this, they do all the like top end like companies, right? And then they hire out a security printing company that does the lottery tickets, that's like known for doing very secure.
That's so much money to put into this.
You have to have two keys to open the vault that has the winning pieces in it. It gets in a suitcase with handcuffs. Like, you would think it was impossible to get to for this to happen, but it did. And so the documentary goes into how this worked and how they didn't get caught for so many years.
Do you guys, that when you guys watch stuff like that, this happens to me, so I want to see if I'm not the only one. Whenever I'm watching a movie or a documentary about someone who's doing a heist or theft or a guy who became a drug dealer, I'm always like
I gotta rub it.
I'm always getting angry because I'm always like, stop there. You made your money. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, go. Yeah, stop
being greedy. They always push it, and I'm always watching it like, you can get away now.
Greed, man.
Yeah,
well, greed. Okay, so you heard about it in the news, but I'm sure there's a gajillion other ones you never hear about.
Oh, of all the people that get away?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
There's not going to be stories about it because they just got the money.
Yeah, that's, you just blew my mind right now.
That's bank robbery.
Yeah.
You know that bank robbers are more than 50% successful?
Now, is this, you've said this before, but is this a real statistic?
I've heard the same stat.
Yeah, and the news just doesn't report them.
Yeah.
They don't report. Now, here's what counts, though, too. Somebody goes in, says to a teller, I've got a gun in my pocket. Give me all your money. She cashes out the fucking $2,000 in her teller.
Why wouldn't that count?
The petty cash.
Yeah, that counts.
Of course that would count.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that happens a lot more than you would think.
Really?
Yeah.
And 50% of them get away?
Yes. And they don't. I can't remember where I read that. I read that stat a long time ago, so maybe it's better now. But
Point Brink.
I was actually under the impression that they never get to
Brink.
You try to say Brink.
You should have had some of that pure and cream
that
juice.
That pure ain't working for me.
look how sharp Adam is right now.
Oh, shit.
It's kicking in already.
I don't feel that sharp yet. Killing it. So I'll let you know if I feel super sharp.
Wow, so 50% get away. That's not bad odds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, how much money could you possibly get?
That's just it. It's like you don't.
It's not worth it.
No.
Right? 15 grand?
Yeah. It's a 50-50 shot at getting a handful of money, like, you know what I'm saying, to last you to your next bank robbery.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got a study that I think you guys will be very interested in. I know Justin for sure.
Sweet.
Yeah. Really interested in the study.
It's a cheese study?
No. So it was a study conducted by the Department of Medical Psychology at the University Clinic of Essen. This is in Germany. Mm-hmm. And they took a group of volunteers and they had them masturbate. And what they found was,
were these all dudes?
Yeah, they were all, I think so.
Yeah. I'm less interested.
No, but listen. So the masturbation caused a boost in white blood cells. Other studies have shown the same thing. So the results confirm that sexual arousal and orgasm increased the number of white blood cells, including natural killer cells that fight off
infection. Damn, that's why I'm healthy.
That's why Justin never gets sick.
I am just, I'm a healthy, thriving male.
He
just
the same benefits when you have sex, I would assume.
No, sex lowers your immune system. No, I'm just kidding.
What? I was like, what? How does that work?
No, I'm just kidding.
So same, right? I mean, it's the arousal and then the orgasm as well.
Wow, I just came up with a theory. I think I know why this happens. Because think about, why would your body boost your immune system after you have sex and ejaculate or whatever?
Well, you know how you are right after that. You
but,
just lay there fucking. You're vulnerable as fuck, dude.
Anything can kill you.
You can rob me. So a disease could kill me. Yeah. Lion could eat me afterwards.
No, I think it's because you were probably likely in close contact with another person, exposed to their germs, exposed to their potential infections. So after you did that, your
keeps
body's
the
like
crabs a little at bay.
It tries to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I heard.
Your body's like, we gotta, strengthen the system here because
you just
had dirty sex.
Interesting theory.
You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that is science, right?
Your chimp study.
That really got to him.
I did a post about it too. I was like, Justin's science better than Sal's science.
I was like, damn, that was good. Hey, did you guys hear about
I'm about to step my game up.
Did you guys hear about Bezos?
No,
I didn't.
What's up?
So he just bought the most expensive property in Los Angeles.
What?
Yes. But here's the deal.
That's not surprising.
They did the math. I don't know. Let me see how much it is. Oh, okay. He bought it. It's $165 million. He bought a house for $165.
What's your property tax on that, Doug?
Oh,
no idea.
$165.
Huge. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, check. Oh, wow. Look at the picture of that.
Is it? Can we see more pictures? Let me see what this thing looks like. Oh wow.
Yeah, it looks like a hotel.
Buckingham Palace right there.
Wow, look at the inside. Okay, so check this out, right? I'm going to trip you guys out. It's $165 million. Now, when you calculate how much money he actually has.
Oh, yeah. Is that like us buying a fucking mobile home?
No.
It
would be the equivalent of if you made $60,000 a year, you spent $75 on a house.
Wow.
That's how much money he has. He spent $165 million.
Just sneezed it.
And it's literally like if he lifted the cushion of his couch and got some change.
Yeah, he just rummaged through his car.
Yeah, and threw
them.
It's like you bought if you made 60 grand a year, it's like you buying a $75
house.
Dang.
Wow.
$75.
Yeah, that's 60. So if you made 120, it's like you buying a house for fucking $300.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Even after his divorce, all this stuff, because she took quite a bit of money, right?
She took a lot of money, but when you have that much money, it doesn't matter.
It's getting silly.
Did she take, or did she just stay in part of the business?
No, he gave her.
He cashed her out?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
His net worth is $131 billion, so...
It would be 260.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it just doesn't make sense. You know, when you get up to that level, it's like, that's just, you don't even know what to do with that much money.
Well, I mean, think about that. Could you even spend it all?
I doubt it.
You know what I'm saying? Because have you seen some of these yachts? Have you seen some of these crazy yachts?
Yeah. Well, the reality is when you're someone like him, like money is not even the motivator.
No.
Money is not even it's not even a big deal. It's
yeah.
Maybe even if it was a motivator early on in your career,
yeah.
It's definitely not now. But once you get to a point where you have so much money you can't possibly
now the whole world's watching what you're doing.
Yeah, the things that motivate guys like him is like literally
privacy.
Yeah, changing the world, privacy. Yep. Like
Now think about that though. Imagine if you created a product that was so valuable to the world that you got that they gave you that much money. Because that's literally this guy is that rich. Because he created Amazon, which is so valuable to everybody.
Right. Yeah.
It's insane to me.
But that's also why I think he deserves all of it.
Of course, I love Amazon.
Yeah. People hate, which is, I always
He does cool stuff that people don't realize, too. Like, so one of the spaceships, like, they're left over. Basically, back in the they used to just like let them all just sink to the bottom of the ocean. You know, all the
wow.
You know, they don't clean it up. Like all the thrusters or whatever, all the parts, like they just end up at the bottom of the ocean. So, like SpaceX is starting to reuse a lot of these and try and like have like renewable ways to get to space and all that. And so he basically fronted all his own money to go out there and like scoop up a bunch of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Here's the thing. I don't care if he does anything else. The fact that he created a product that people want willingly and voluntarily
right,
to pay
that
for.
We'll use for decades.
He doesn't have to do anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
What he did by creating Amazon benefited billions of people around the world.
Not only that, he opened up a model that so many other businesses
That's what I'm saying.
Now model after. So the rippling effect of what he did. Bro, it's like even if you're not an Amazon person, which is like you have to be a very small percentage of people that don't use Amazon, even if you're not, the rippling effect of how many other businesses have built their model off of their model now, you're definitely impacted by what
Do you know how many businesses would not be possible today if it weren't for Amazon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tons of them. And think about the efficiency that Amazon...
Oh, the one click and everything. I mean, they were like known for that.
Or you buy something and it's at your house tomorrow.
That's what I mean. It's just like right away.
Do you know what it used to be like? You know, I'm going to talk to the younger listeners for a second. You know what it used to be like when you buy shit through the mail?
Gather around, kids.
Yeah, come around. Gather around. I used to buy supplements online. You'd buy that shit. Forget online. I'd have to buy them through the mail. You'd buy it. Yeah. You don't get that shit for
you
a month.
You had to buy it from Tony from GNC. You know what the fuck he was talking about.
It'd take you like a month to get to your house. Yeah. Or you'd have to mail to them what you want. You have to wait for the mail to get to them. Then you have to wait for them to get the mail, process it, and then send you the product. By the time you get the product, you're not even working out anymore.
It's hard when you live in some rural town, though, and you are a three-time family. This is where the people that fucking hate like Amazon and the Walmarts and stuff is. You live in this rural town. You have you've owned this property for 100 years. It's been passed down from family member to family member. You've got the general store that's there. And it's provided a livelihood for your family, your grandparents, you know what I'm saying? And like you've inherited now. And then in this last two decades, a company like Amazon and Walmart have completely come in and completely flipped it upside down. And so those people are, and then and anybody that's connected to those people, like if, you know, Justin was the person we're talking about, he's a close friend of mine, and I see how much it's fucked up his life and turned him, everything upside down. Those are the people that get really upset.
There's no guarantees in a free society. There's no guarantees that your business or your idea will always
look ahead
and continue to work. I mean, think about all the people that had to change careers when the wristwatch was invented. All the people who made, you know, the what are they called? The watches that hang off the string or whatever.
Pocket watch?
Pocket watch.
Yeah.
Or what about, you know, wagon makers, you know, when people started driving cars, you know? It's just the way it works, and yes, there's always going to be those people.
Well, and just kidding. Remember that stat? Lose. Remember that stat that I read you guys about the S&P 500, like the amount of companies that will be still on there in 15 years? What they predict? It was like a 75% overturn.
Yep.
Like in just like two decades' time. That's insane.
It's hard, dude. This is why we have great products. Is because you have to constantly innovate and compete. Because the second you take a break, someone's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it works.
So true.
Anyway, another cool study. This one has nothing to do with masturbation. Sorry, Justin.
Ah, it's all right.
Yeah. So this one was about antioxidants. So have you guys heard me say in the past how, like I use antioxidant supplements as a wonderful example of how sometimes something that you think is good, taking a supplement of it can actually be bad?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Antioxidants are a phenomenal example of this because at high doses, which you don't get from food. Like you don't get mega doses of antioxidants from food. But you can do that with supplements. When people take mega doses of antioxidants, these antioxidants can actually cause protect cancer cells. They can actually prevent your body from killing cancer cells by protecting the cancer cells. Yeah. So there's studies that show that people who took like high doses of vitamin E increased their risk of prostate cancer by 17%. There was other studies that show that high doses of beta carotene increased lung cancer risk by 28% in smokers.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so this is why you got to be careful with the supplements. Just because there's a compound in food that is good for you that we've identified, taking it out, synthesizing it, concentrating the shit out of it doesn't mean you're going to get more benefits. Oftentimes it means you'll do a lot worse. So anyway, you know what one of my favorite things about the keto diet is, by the way?
What's that?
When you go
your
off.
Your breath.
No, thanks, Justin.
Sorry.
That's your favorite thing. Yeah. When you go off.
Yeah.
You know when you start to reintroduce carbs?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Man, energized like hell. Huh?
Strong.
Yeah.
Strong. My strength exploded.
Does it take nowhere near as much?
No. I'm eating because I went keto for a little while because I was trying to reduce inflammation, get the cognitive kind of sharpening, boosting effects. And I did that for probably 5 or 6 weeks, maybe a little longer. And then this week, I started eating more carbs. And I'm still averaging maybe 100 grams, 150 grams of carbs a day, which is not much, but it's way more than the, you know, less than 30 grams I was eating before. And man, my workouts are the pumps I get. Like when it comes to bulking or building muscle, carbs really make a big difference.
Carbs are king.
Yeah, that's why when I see people posting about like keto and somebody did a post about how ketogenic diets are great for CrossFit. I couldn't believe I saw that post.
What? Really?
Yes. Yeah. I was on there. Other people were on there telling them that they were wrong or whatever.
That's pretty dumb.
Or keto and bulking. Very, very hard to do. Yeah. Very hard to get big and strong when you're not eating carbohydrates. But this is why I like to switch in and out of different things because you can really see and notice and appreciate the value of different foods and different macronutrients.
Diet fluid.
Yeah, because if you're always staying in one lane all the time, you start to lose forget the benefits of other macronutrients and foods and
stuff like that. Not only that, there's times in your life where it makes a lot of sense. Like, you know, let's say you are a CrossFitter and it doesn't make sense for you to be doing it while you're in the middle of CrossFit. But you go on a, you know, 3 week vacation or a hiatus for a little bit and you make the transition and you're not working out at all for 3 weeks. Like what a great time to transition over into a diet like that, that is satiating, that you get to have good. I mean, what's cool about the ketogenic diet too is like fat's fun to eat, you know?
Yeah, it is.
So it's not like you're low fat diet is tough to me. A low fat diet is really tough because you're restricting calories and you're restricting fat, which is tastes good.
So yeah. I don't go low fat, by the way. I go lower fat, but I never go low fat because of exactly what you said.
Yeah.
But I've done low fat before. Terrible. I feel terrible. I feel like my libido goes away. Yeah. Just not a good.
Oh, I remember after I went ketogenic and saw the benefits of me just bumping my fat up again. I never eat chicken breast anymore. Like I eat chicken thighs always.
Mm.
Because it's and now when I was competing,
he's a leg man.
And yeah. when I'm competing, I might introduce chicken breast the last like couple weeks when I'm like eating like really lean meat to reduce mm-hmm. calories. But for everyday life, like I much rather have thighs taste a million times better, and the benefits of it are incredible.
Yeah, I remember when I discovered
and they're cheaper.
Yep, and I remember when I discovered the brown turkey meat at Thanksgiving. It was like a life changing experience. Up until that point, I thought turkey was disgusting because the white, you know,
it's so dry,
so dry.
Yeah,
and then my dad was like, "Eat this; it's way juicier."
I used to be a breast guy too.
Did you really?
Yeah,
yeah.
Now I'm a thigh guy.
Mm-hmm. Thigh guy. Hi, thigh guy.
Today's Quad is brought to you by Maps Anabolic. If you're looking to maximize your overall muscle and strength, Maps Anabolic is the perfect place to start. With a full 30-day money-back guarantee, there is absolutely zero risk. So what are you waiting for? Go to mindpumpmedia.com and get started today.
It's the motherfucking Quad.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First question is from Official Bruce Love. What are your thoughts on two-a-days?
Two-a-days is, this is when you're working out twice a day instead of once a day. And one of the reasons why people will do this is because they're training at a very high level, lots of volume, and to have the energy and the capacity to finish an entire, all of your workout at one time is difficult. So splitting it up allows you to finish it with good energy. Now here's the deal. I love it. If you're at this level and you're training with that much volume, splitting up your workouts is one of the best things you could possibly do. The convenience factor is a problem.
Yeah, and they're probably thinking of like the two super intense workouts, like back to back. Like we used to do that a lot when we were playing football and any other sport, where it was like you're trying to cram, you know, as much intensity in as possible. And the way that you're talking about it is probably the only way I apply it now today, in terms of like it's a little more reasonable, but I'm just basically splitting almost in half, or maybe just adding a little bit more to the next workout so I can get the benefit.
I hate it, and I'll tell you why I hate it. And before I go into why I hate it, I want to preface this with, one, I've done it a lot. I did it a ton, especially when I was competing, and we've written a program, MAPS PED, that has it. So I'm not saying that nobody should do it, and there's not a percentage of the population that there's lots of value to it, so that exists. I hate it for the majority because I think that it's a very unrealistic thing to sustain, and when you stop doing it, it really throws off. You got to really know what you're doing with your diet. If you were decided, because this is what I see in my experience, the people that want to do this, they're doing it because they're wanting to do more. They're wanting to do more to get results faster, to get to their goal quicker, and they're motivated by a wedding. They're motivated by a vacation. They're motivated by a competition they're doing. And the theory behind two-a-days is get to your goal faster. And that, to me, is the wrong message for that person. I do see lots of value in it, in the extremely consistent person who's been lifting for years and is trying to scale up their volume and continue. Maybe they're into competing. Like that makes sense to me. And let me tell you, like I didn't get to this point. Like I was competing without doing double days. It was when I got to the professional level, because from the year leading up to competing, I ran mostly like an anabolic type of program. Then when I started hitting stage, I was moving to something more like MAPS Aesthetic. Then I was moving into something like MAPS Split when I was still an amateur. And then by the time I got to the professional level, I had scaled to the volume of PED. But it was you're talking about not missing a single fucking workout, diet, anything for almost 4 years straight for me during that time, to progress to the point where I saw value in adding an additional workout to my training. I got incredible results leading all the way up to that point without ever having to push to two-a-days. So I don't like it for most people. And I remember we were very hesitant to even write PED. We wrote all the other programs first before PED for that exact reason.
Yeah, well, there's some prerequisites. Like if you can do your whole workout in one workout and you're doing it appropriately and properly, then stick to that. If you get to the point where you're doing so much volume, so many exercises – that it's just, you know, it's by the end of your workout, you're wasting your time because you're fatigued. That's when it becomes a good idea to split. Now, here's the deal. For the advanced person, this may be a great idea. This is how bodybuilders used to work out back in the 70s and 80s. They used to call what's called a double split routine, where they would split the body parts up, but they'd also split it from morning and evening. And that, for on a consistent basis, that works great. But for the average person, here's how you can utilize something like this. It's as a sporadic way to get your body to change and adapt. If you're consistent, and you're pretty fit, once a day is perfectly fine. But every once in a while, try this. Every once in a while, if you have time to kill and you got a whole day ahead of you, go to the gym or in your garage. This is even better if you have a garage gym, and do a 30-minute workout every 2 or 3 hours. Do, you know, 3 sets of squats and 2 sets of bench press and some overhead press, something like that. Every other hour, you more than 2 days, you could do 3 or 4 of these workouts. I've done this occasionally. When I say occasionally, I'm talking about like once, you know, every 3 months or so. I get phenomenal results and gains from doing that. And I think it's because the body responds really well
to frequency.
Frequency.
Yeah.
Well, splitting up the workout.
So there is another situation where I do see it okay for somebody who maybe is at like a beginner level. And I do this. This I do quite a bit. Now, we have a podcast in a gym. We have, you know, access to gyms everywhere we go all the time. And so it's very easy for us to do this. Many times I'm following like a MAPS anabolic type of protocol, and I only do 2 or 3 of the exercises. Right, first thing in the morning or whatever. And I get, that's all, I only had a little bit of time. And then I come back later in the afternoon and the day and I finish it.
Yeah.
Like that's 2 a day, right? That's considered that. But I'm also managing my volume the same as if I was just going to do it in one workout. So I do see lots of value in that. Like people think that to get a good workout, you have to have this intense 1 hour kill yourself routine. And that couldn't be further from the truth. There is nothing wrong with you taking your current workout plan and splitting it up in 2 workouts that are more like half hour workouts. Yep. And there's a lot of benefit to that. And I think that's valuable. When I think of people that ask me questions about 2 a day,
you think they're going to do like an hour and a half in the morning, hour and a half in the evening?
Yeah. Or even just an hour of intense training. You know what I'm saying? They're wanting to do more. That's what they're trying to do to promote faster results. And again, you don't need to do that to get incredible results. And I would wait to scale to that until if I've gone through all of the MAPS programs, then that's really how it's designed. Like imagine you're somebody who's been listening since the beginning and you have never missed. You've consecutively went through MAPS program after program after program. We've scaled them like that. And the reason why PED was last is because it is
it's the peak of the pyramid.
Yeah, it's the pinnacle. So
like,
if
that's like you're going to be your profession and like I'm going to be a professional bodybuilder or, you know, a professional athlete and I want to ramp myself up to that kind of volume and intensity altogether, that's like you're stretching yourself. And even then you don't want to stay there for very long. Like that's something that you're testing yourself. Just like if it's, you know, like we talk about maxing out, you know, stuff like that. Like there's times where that's appropriate, I feel, to be able to know where you stand.
Well, since you got your gym at home, have you experimented with the like doing a few sets every other hour while you're at home type of deal?
I do that all the time.
Isn't it great?
Dude, it's so liberating because honestly, most of the time when you're thinking about working out, the biggest thing is like, oh my God, I don't want to get started and then stop. And you want all that momentum. Once you like free yourself of that and you just start just grabbing stuff and going, and you kind of have an idea of what you need to accomplish for the day. Like I'll start with bench and or squat or whatever it is. And you know, I'm just focused completely on that. And then it's like, oh, well, I got to go pick the kids up, or oh, I got to go take, you know, go to soccer practice. Then I'll come back and then I'm hitting something else. Mm-hmm. And it's like you just do it in spurts and you get the same, if not better, results.
Well, I did it yesterday and the day before both. One day I was talking to Rachel and Eli. I was out in the gym. I was doing bench press and some shoulder work. I would do 3 sets, set down the weight. I'd go in the office. I'd sit down. I was talking to them for 15, 20 minutes. Oh, let's work on this. Yeah. Overlooking at videos. Go back out. Did a few more sets. I did it yesterday again with Doug. Doug was in here. We were doing like bookkeeping and numbers and shit. I was out there squatting, come back in, and then I talked to Doug for 15 minutes, go back out. Like, yeah, I know if you have that luxury It's
inconvenient for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's but for most people,
it's not great for my endurance, though. I'll be honest. Like, getting it all back to back to back is like ideal. But yeah, that's probably the only thing I could say.
Next question is from Randy Adams 02. Do endurance rep ranges in the 15 to 20 range help at all with strength and hypertrophy?
Oh my God, yes,
definitely.
Especially if you don't do this.
When I first learned this, I mean, remember when I was reading bodybuilding magazines and muscle books, you know, when I was younger, and all of them said heavy weight and low reps built muscle. None of them recommended this 15 to 20 rep range. And then years later, there was a bodybuilder, I can't remember his name, but he talked about how he liked to train in the 15 to 20 range, and he had a very impressive physique. And being a kid, that would be what convinced me. I see someone's physique, they say something, I'm going to give it a shot. Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. I built so much muscle in such a short period of time. Now, it's not because 15 to 20 reps is superior for building muscle. It's because I never did it.
Yes.
Once I jumped into it, it was such a new and novel stimulus. My body responded incredibly.
My greatest hypertrophy gains came from this. And that was, it really sent me down the rabbit hole of like reading the studies to support all this stuff. That's where I kind of pieced all this together was, like you, Sal, for sure, at least the first 5 years of lifting, I don't think I lifted a weight over 6 reps.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was everything I had read up until that point was if you want to get big, you want to build muscle,
six reps
tops, right? So everything went, and I got stronger in those years, those 5 years of lifting. So, you know, and I got a little bit bigger. And so I felt like, yeah, nothing was going to change my mind at that point that this was another route. I believe it for me, it was like some bodybuilder or trainer that I met.
I was a 5x5 guy, like forever.
Right. And then
I'm still kind of like that.
Tells me to go and do 15 to 20 reps and just lighten the load. And I'm like, what? That's insane. But I was like, okay, I'm going to try this for a few weeks. And I just blew up. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm getting bigger right now off of lighter weight. And that, and then
is you when got I, stuck in that?
I did. You know, I got stuck in that for a really long time, plateaued. And that was what kind of sent me down the rabbit hole of like reading and figuring out, okay, what I need to do is I need to periodize this and cycle through these rep ranges. That's where the real benefit is.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking, like, I don't even know if you remember, but you introduced me to supersetting. And I never even did that before, you know, through my entire athletic career. And I got to 24. And then Adam was like, I'm going to take you through this workout. I think you're working with a bunch of bodybuilders at the time. So I would like, I was doing bench. And then all of a sudden he's like, okay, now we're going to do some push-up like right away. And I'm like, right away? Where's the rest? Yeah. You know, I just didn't get it. And then I'm like, I fucking blew up. But like just changing it up, like it's going to have a massive impact on your body.
Yeah, studies are pretty conclusive. They show that the rep ranges between 1 to like 30 all build muscle. They all build muscle so long as the tension is sufficient and the intensity is sufficient. And all of those will slow down and stop building muscle if you only ever do those rep ranges, regardless of what you're in. So you'll benefit through cycling through them. Now, I typically recommend anywhere between 3 to 5 weeks of staying in a particular rep range before moving out of one. So you want to kind of squeeze the benefit out of that rep range before you move into another one. It's a great one.
This is why I think that so many people that take the advice of Stan Efferding are blown away by his, because he like preaches, you know, 20 reps in squats.
Oh, 20 rep squats.
Like nobody does that. That's why.
He got influenced by Flex Wheeler, right?
No. He influenced Flex. He influenced Flex on doing the 20 rep range and just blew his mind too. Like it absolutely, yeah. And what it is that it's so novel for like 99% of the population, because even people that rotate their rep ranges, typically deadlifting and squatting, they ain't fucking around with more than 12, 15 top reps, maybe, right? And they probably rarely do that, because we all know that feels like cardio when you do that.
Oh, if you've never done 20 reps of squats, you are in for some shit. It is brutal.
Grueling.
It is difficult.
And,
very
and so I think really it's not that the number 20 is magical. It's that very few people, that like Sal was saying, the studies are conclusive. Anything from basically 1 to 30 is going to build muscle, is going to support hypertrophy. And because so few of people ever push squats to 20 reps, just simply running 3 weeks where you commit to saying, okay, I'm squatting 20 reps every single time I squat for the next 3 to 4 weeks, watch how much your legs blow up, because you just never do it.
Next question is from Nathan N. Norman. I recently came across conflicting arguments regarding the correlation between lean muscle mass and resting metabolic rate. Why do you think most of these studies seem to suggest that the increase is fairly minimal?
So,
well, I'm confused on what the question is here.
I'll break it down for you. So what he's talking about is how, you know, we talk about building muscle speeds up the metabolism.
Right.
Then studies will come out showing
You just addressed this.
Yeah, 1 pound of muscle only burns, you know, this many more calories. And adding 5 pounds of muscle isn't going to increase your metabolism.
There's too many other variables that the study doesn't take into consideration.
There's also this, is that when your body's trying to build, it just becomes less efficient with calories. So there is this caloric number. There is a certain amount of calories that muscle will build. And it's more than however many calories a pound of fat, for example, will end up burning. That's true. That number right there is not a ton, but there is this inefficiency that happens with calories. I've seen this time and time again with clients. I'll take a client and I'll have her gain 4 pounds of muscle, which if you do the direct, you know, number, should only boost her metabolism by about 50 calories a day. But I'm having her eat 600 or 700 more calories a day, and she's getting leaner.
It's that I hate this, and I get really irritated by the guys or girls that try and counter this message, because I think it's a very good message. I think it's the right message to be telling people, because more people need to strength train, more people need to be focused on building lean body mass because of how much it impacts your metabolism. And then out comes somebody, and I wish I knew who first did it, because they deserve to be slapped for it, who comes out and isolates, you know, fat and muscle, and then shows that it's not as what everyone's been exaggerating of, you know, for every pound. Because I used to say this as a trainer to get this point across to my clients. I would relate it to a big McDonald's Big Mac. I remember this. Mm-hmm. I had the same spiel to everybody that, listen, if we can put, you know, 3 to 5 pounds of muscle on your body, literally just getting that on your body, not losing any body fat, not changing anything in your diet, you will be able to eat an additional 300 or so calories. That's like a Big Mac that you could have and cancel out. And that, just to give them that visual and understanding of how important it was that we build muscle. And then, of course, later on comes out the study that show that that's not true. It's maybe 5 calories or whatever. Well, yeah, that's just measuring metabolically what muscle is doing and what fat is doing in the body and what it needs for energy. What you're not taking into consideration is the digestive system. You're not taking into consideration the signal that you're sending to build, the calories that are having to get allocated to recovery, to adaptation.
Yeah, and
like there's more than just those.
And we need to understand something, that mammalian metabolism is extremely complex. It's I could probably say that it's the second most complex thing that we've observed in the universe, right underneath right below the brain, the human brain. So we don't know everything. Here's a good example. If you take somebody and you bump their calories a little bit, they start to burn more calories. They don't even have to do anything else. You just start bumping their calories a little bit and they start to burn more calories. You start to cut their calories a little bit, their body starts to burn less calories. How is this happening? Even though there may be even no difference in tissue, you can measure their body fat and their muscle, right. Nothing's changing. How are they burning more calories? We don't really know, but the best theory that I've heard is that your body can become more or less efficient with calories. Sending the signal to the body to build muscle promotes inefficiency with calories. It promotes a faster metabolism because you're trying to build muscle and other things are happening in the body. And again, I've seen this time and time again. I've had many clients who gained 5 pounds of muscle, not a lot, but their metabolism boost was massive and didn't directly correlate to the amount of muscle.
I like this question because it creates a discussion around a topic that is nuanced, and that I think it reminds me of my pet peeve of and why we do what we do is, there's no study that could counter what I've seen on hundreds. I mean, I'm in the middle of it. Like this exact topic right now is what I'm working with 2 female clients right now in building their metabolism and getting to eat more calories. And both of them, when I got a hold of them, and this is not even that long ago, were eating 1,500 and 1,700 calories. And both of them are in the 2,200 and 2,300 calorie range right now. And neither of them are putting weight on the scale.
Right.
How the fuck did that happen in that short amount of time? I didn't put 30 pounds of muscle on them.
Right.
And based off of these studies that show that it's only a few calorie difference, that's what it would be. And I didn't build 30 pounds on these girls.
And you want to talk about studies, okay? So let's look at the studies where they're actually looking at people and seeing what happens when they diet and lift weights versus diet and do cardio versus just diet. These studies exist.
That's okay. There's another thing. Okay, and you don't need a study to do this. Just check your own behaviors. I was just commenting to Katrina about how important it is that for me to be a better husband and a better father to get my getting my workouts in. Whenever I lift and get a good lift in early on in the day, when I come home, I notice, I'm very aware of this. I start cleaning up around the house and I start doing things for a helper. When I've had a day where I miss my workout or I'm off on my diet, I feel lethargic, I'm tired, I come home and I want to sit down on the fucking couch. Mm-hmm. I just move less. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be in that study. We're not measuring that. We're isolating just muscle and fat. We're not taking into consideration behaviors.
That's a very good point. But even when you look at everything else, like I just pulled up an easy study right here where they took participants, older participants, and they compared fat loss with just diet plus walking, diet plus weight training, or diet alone. Diet plus walking resulted in 16 pounds of fat loss. Diet plus weight training resulted in about 17 pounds of weight loss. Almost equivalent, right? But here's the difference. Muscle mass loss was 4 pounds with the diet plus walking. Diet alone resulted in less muscle mass loss than cardio or walking plus diet. Resistance training obviously resulted in no muscle mass loss. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you that your body tries to adapt its metabolism, tries to change things. Resistance training, of all the forms of exercise, is the one that promotes the faster metabolism. It's the one that promotes, and the part of the way it promotes that is by keeping and building muscle, but it's not the only way. There are other things that are happening we quite don't understand, but I can tell you again this much. I've worked with lots and lots of clients, and when I have them lift weights and I have them change their nutrition, I can see big changes in how many calories they can eat and maintain their weight or get leaner. Big changes. I've had clients that went from 1,200 calories to 2,200 calories.
I'm telling
a day.
You, right, I'm in the middle of it right now. I haven't had a hold of these girls longer than a couple months.
Yeah,
this is in a couple months' time. We've moved from 1,500 up to 2,200 calories.
Huge difference.
And they are not 30 pounds bigger. Yeah. They're the same. They're the same weight. I got a hold of them at, and that's the goal. And I keep telling them is that my goal is to keep increasing your calories and seeing that scale just kind of hover around the same thing. They are weighing in at 121, 130. These are their two girls' weights, and they're sticking right at that weight, and I'm just bumping calories,
And now why is that beneficial? Well, it's beneficial because you live in a wonderful time with lots of food all around you. You live in a time where daily life is sedentary. You don't have to be strenuous and break your back. Having a faster metabolism or a more inefficient metabolism is an advantage.
Well,
keeps you leaner.
And how great is it going to be for these two girls who initially what they want to do is lean out, right? And how great is it going to be for them when I get them up to 2,700 calories and I go, okay, it's time to diet down to 25 or 2,300 calories, and they get to reduce down to
a high amount.
Yeah, a 500 more calories than they were used to eating in the first place, and their body starts leaning out.
Oh,
like that's the beauty of it. And that is the real takeaway and message. And the trainers out there or the scientists that are putting out the studies to try and counter this message, it irritates me because, yeah, the study is correct. Yes, when we measure it that way, but there's too many other factors. There's too many other unknowns. And coming from people that have been doing this for a really long time, the impact that you make on somebody's metabolism by putting them on a strength-focused program and building muscle is unbelievable when it comes to metabolism.
Next question is from Solomon Roskin. What are the best ways to deal with stress?
You know, when you look at the studies on stress and you look at effective techniques, there's a lot of different things that are out there that can help people deal with stress. But there's one thing that probably will make the biggest impact on how you handle stress. And this one thing I'm going to talk about has been echoed in many practices that span the world. Some of them are found in religious practices, others in philosophies, and that is how you accept or you try to fight your current situation. Okay, so I'll give you a good example. I was reading this book, the book with Dr. John Gottman, and he talks about the stress of having a child, how that'll stress out couples quite a bit. In fact, you see divorce spike after a couple has children. However, the couples that accept that their life will never be the same, the husband that accepts that he's not going to just have sex whenever he wants. The wife that accepts that she just can't go out to dinner all the time. That they accept that they're having a child. Life is never going to be the same mm-hmm. as it was before. The stress doesn't bother them. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not stressed. It just means that they're not fighting it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like this. It's like, imagine if you were sad and then you were sad that you were sad. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, why am I sad? I'm so, and it makes you even more sad about being sad.
It's like a spiral effect.
So one of the number one things with stress is just whatever your situation is in, you have to, acceptance makes a big deal, makes a big difference. Like, okay, well, this is just the way it is right now. Right now, mm-hmm. I'm working this many hours. Right now, I'm handling all these different things. I need to just accept it. And that reduces the pain from the stress significantly. And it's something you can apply, anybody can apply.
We suffer more in imagination than we do in reality.
Yeah, all in our minds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about reframing, right? That's the first step to it. Now, obviously, there's things that you can do, I think, in your daily practices that can help mitigate this. But all of them really go back to helping you reframe your thinking. That's with the meditation, the getting good rest, like all of it just helps you have better, clear thinking about what's going on in your life. And it's the ability for you to reframe what's happening to help out the stress. And the thing that's helped me and that I share with people that I think is done wonders for clients that I've discussed this with and even applying it to my own life is just looking at all stress that I deal with, whether it be work, personal life, whatever. They're all challenges and they're all difficulties. And the greater the challenge, the greater the difficulty, the better it is on the other side. Mm. So learning to look at it like, you know, yeah, okay, it's a stress right now. When I break through the stress, I adapt or get over it. The reward is more rewarding than what the stress was. And the greater it is, the greater the reward on the other side, which is how you handle the bigger, harder ones, right? Because everybody, and there's no such thing as big problems, only problems that we make big. So when you have these like life-altering things, deaths in the family, these hardships with work.
That was a Jim Quickian.
Did you like it? Hey, you know what? The pure, it took 45 minutes for me.
Oh, it worked. Oh, yeah. There it is.
I dropped you some Jim Quick stoicism in there. Yeah. Yeah, shit, dude. It does work. It takes my body 45 minutes.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Yeah, a little
You're
bit
taller.
Longer. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It took a little bit longer to get there.
It's a longer pull.
Right on Organifi. Yeah.
I think, too, like just taking an inventory of what are the potential stressors going on with you right now. Sometimes it's good to acknowledge it and you don't realize where it's all coming from sometimes. And I know that, I went through a period where it was just, I was trying to take on like way too many things at once and then not realizing where my deficits were, which then stressed me out because then I wasn't contributing to those things that I needed to contribute to. And then, you know, just looking at all these things, prioritizing, this is a lot of where you see like, you know, these TV shows where they come in and they have somebody like clean your house, like let's organize everything, let's be a minimalist, let's get rid of all this stuff because you don't need it, or you know like there's practices like you'd mentioned with meditation, there's tools out there for you to be able to handle certain components of this, but it always revolves around your mindset. And the thing is, like, you're going to face adversity constantly, so it's about like learning how to adjust and to be able to, you know, be in a calm state of mind.
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason why people feel so stressed nowadays is because there's a bit of a myth out there that, you know, it's the stressful times we've ever lived in human history, and you know, we're just so much stress.
Stop watching the news for one.
Yeah, okay. It's that's actually not true. Okay, it's not true. Talk to your grandparents. You know, they had all kinds of crazy stress.
Yeah.
Money was way tighter. People would die
from
diseases,
like rickets.
They would lose children. You know, it's actually objectively the least stressful time ever. Yet we feel more stress. I think part of the reason why we feel more stress is because we think we're not supposed to. We think we're always supposed to be happy. Right. We're always supposed to have what we want. Whereas when you talk to, you know, and I it's one of the reasons why I love training people in advanced age. I would talk to them about these kinds of things. And they tell me, you just accepted it. That was life. It was just the way it was. It's the resistance to the way things are that causes much of our stress. When you look at like people like Wim Hof, who teaches people how to tolerate the freezing, frigid, cold water that they'll jump into, One of the things that he teaches you to do is just accept the fact that it's cold. You're not fighting it. You're not resisting it. You get in, you accept it.
You acknowledge it, and then you calm your body and deal with it.
That's right.
In the defense of all the millennials that are freaking out over all the stress that we have, is that what I think we have is, I think we have more low-level stress than we've ever had. I think that we are so attached to our phones. We're so attached to our email. We're so easily connected to so many other people that influence our lives and our mood. And, you know, just because it's not a lion jumping out and trying to eat us type of stress, or someone dying of fucking scurvy in our family, like, because it's not a stress like that, it's this low
family of pirates.
Yeah, it's this low level stress that they're constantly get. And I think it's the compounding effect of that. That when something happens when you're at home, or something that's a, you know, maybe not like a lion jumping out of you, but a much higher elevation, I think it feels like it's so much more, because you don't realize when you're scrolling through Instagram and you think you're just liking photos and looking at what your friends are doing, really what you're doing subconsciously is comparing yourself to them and where you're at,
trying to get validation.
Yeah, why am I not on that trip? Why am I not on
exactly?
This life sucks. That life looks
exactly
great.
And so you're already framing how you're going to look at this obstacle or challenge you're going to have maybe 5 hours later in the day. So I scrolled through Instagram. Now, I didn't think of that scrolling through Instagram as a stress, but it most certainly was, because subconsciously I was comparing myself to all my friends and feeling bad about myself and where I'm at currently in my life, even if it wasn't like a major focus, it happened. And then I get to work and I'm emailing back and forth, and I get an email from somebody that is a disgruntled employee or disgruntled customer service issue, and now I'm dealing with that. And then I go home, and then my wife drops some serious news on me that's like a real fucking stress in our life. She lost her job. Now I'm alone gonna have to support the whatever. Now that's a real fucking stress, but because you had all that low level shit, I think it's the combination of all of it that makes that seem so fucking paramount.
It is, and again, I really think there's a lot of different things you could do. Exercise, be healthy, makes you more resilient to stress. You could structure your life so that you have some downtime. You can learn how to meditate, maybe prayer, because it's another form of meditation, right?
Right.
You know, that gives you a sense of meaning and purpose. That's all very important, but at the very top of it, really is just not resisting and accepting reality, because reality is in front of you, right? Things are happening. You have a job, you have bills, maybe you have kids, and if you're in resistance to what is real, you're at war with reality. That's stressful. That's going to make life real hard. I remember one time I was in the car with the kids and with Jessica, and we were driving. I think we were driving to my cousin's house, and it was taking forever. There was a traffic jam. We were in the car. It was a 2-hour trip. It took us like 5 hours to get where we were. And I was so angry and irritated, just like, which, you know, driving in traffic will do that to a lot of us. And I remember Jessica, we were talking, and she goes, "Why are you so stressed out?" I'm like, "Because we're in the car and I'm so pissed off," or whatever. And she's like, "Well, you know, what is it that's bad?" I'm going to get there. She's like, "Okay, what do you want to do when we get there?" "I want to be with everybody." She's like, "You're with everybody now." You know, and I thought, you're right. We're all in the car together. We're just going to go somewhere else and be together.
Yeah.
And it immediately changed how I felt. Immediately, I thought, "Oh yeah, I'm with everybody now. We're all in the car. Let's all just hang out, just like we would when we got to our destination." That change, that reframing of life and where you're at. And again, this book by Dr. Gottman talks about this. He says the couples that succeed with children are the ones that accept that life will not be the same anymore. Mm-hmm. The ones that have that struggle are the ones that struggle with the fact that it's not like it used to be, and I want it to be the way it was. Yeah. It's not going to be the way it was.
Well,
it's
just not gonna happen. When you start living in the past or like thinking too much in the future, it's like as present as you can get, and that's why like breathing and these techniques, they help you to be conscious about like what's right in front of you.
Totally.
And to just disregard all that stuff.
Totally. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download all of our guides, resources, and books. They're all totally free. You can also find the three of us on Instagram. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. Adam at Mind Pump Adam. Oh, and by the way, you can look up Doug too. Doug is at Mind Pump Doug.
Doug the Hug.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.